talk. So the next presentation will be with Michael Meeks, and it's titled Collabora Online, Richer Collaboration.
Thank you so much, Clement. Well, lovely to see you all. Oh, well, you know, I didn't do anything yet. I should leave on a high. I think I should quit now. But anyway, thank you for coming. You rock. So in case you've been living under a rock, I will just present some pictures initially of the beauty that is Collabora Online. Look at this blue familiar. Okay, so there is a Google, a more traditional toolbar UI that you can use. But there's also a more tabbed tool panel as well that makes it look nice. And of course, all of your nice spreadsheets and word processing documents in whatever newfangled or horrible legacy file format you like. Lots of good interoperability, presentations even as well, and drawings. So we can do a little bit of diagramming. We could always improve the user experience there. That would be good. And of course, on your mobile phone too. So we can shrink the thing down. We can turn, actually, the mobile phone UI is effectively the sidebar. So there's a sidebar panel in the desktop PC version. We can wrap that and turn that into this very nice one-handed formatting and properties UI. And you can either run that as a web view component, so you can suck that in. I think the Nextcloud app does this. So you can then collaborate inside that application very seamlessly and build that into your app. Or you can have a fat client app that brings essentially the server, the LibreOffice code base, running offline on your device. So that's pretty nice. So how do you deploy it? I mean, obviously you want it. You've seen it. You need it, right? So how can we get it out there? Well, there are a few tips and tricks, and I believe the system administrators like to sneak into this conference and get all sorts of clever things. So the easiest way probably is to grab the Helm chart or an all-in-one image. I mean, there are all sorts of people making images that bundle our technology with it. But assuming you just want to deploy this at reasonable scale, the Helm chart is a pretty good way. Kubernetes makes this very, very simple for you. And yeah, there's a whole lot of nice features here. Well, one of the things that seems like it might be an issue, but also is a massive benefit, is that our model is extremely simple. So everybody editing the same document comes into the same machine, the same pod, the same process, the same address space. And so the real trick then is that when you load a document, you have a thing called a WAPI source, and you have to get through this routing matrix based on your WAPI source into that place, and then you can collaborate. And that's very nice. So we don't need very clever ways of synchronizing things. They're all already synchronized, which is beautiful. And it does mean that there's no real communication between any of those nodes. Like, don't load the same document on 5 different nodes and then have a message bus that tries to, that seems just very complicated. And when you look at the statistics of how many people are editing concurrently, it just doesn't make any sense either. So this is a really, really good model, and it scales with the network. It works very nicely with all sorts of load balancers, and it's pretty cool. And you remember that I mentioned that each document then has this WAPI source identifier that identifies uniquely that document. That WAPI source actually has the URL for where to get the document from. And so this protocol is really just a web download. It downloads it off the web, the document, loads it, allows you to collaborate, and then it posts it back again when it's done or when it auto-saves in the background, which it now does. So what does that mean? Well, that does mean that it's incredibly multi-tenant, right? So with a single cool cluster, you can run, here is a small selection of some of our open source partners who some of them at the conference here. I have two Nextclouds primarily because, you can have multiple systems, even of the same type, talking to the same cluster. So you can get all sorts of economies of scale and wonder there, which is really nice. And you can get the configuration from this from a remote web URL. So you can have lots of pods, lots of different bits of server here. And they just download their configuration, they poll it every minute, and they readjust to adapt for new instances of any of these things coming in. So very nice if you're deploying at real scale, if you're a hoster, if you want to, to make this work nicely. So that's pretty all good stuff. But I'd like to just look at some of the most recent features we've added, and one of those is automatic documents. So If you're in a government or a big organization, you'll discover that forms are, the king. And filling out data and interacting with that nicely is really, really important. Oh, my arrows are looking a bit faint. But essentially, what you want to do is you want to create multiple documents from templates. You want to get data out of forms. You want to see what's going on with documents. And so there are many parts to that. What we've provided is a REST endpoint which is very, very simple to use. I had a talk on it earlier, just upstairs. And that then allows you to have a document, a docx, a doc, ODT, whatever you like, and to suck all sorts of information out of that as JSON, so you can get all of these properties, and then you can shove information in as JSON. So you have a document and a JSON, you post it, and you get something back in whatever format you like, you know, PDFs or whatever. So very nice. So if document properties are often used for content management systems and, you know, all sorts of things to tag and organize documents and work out what they are, but probably more useful are forms. So creating forms is something any user should be able to do, and that's all built in. There's a nice form tab, which you can click and get all of these things, and you can plop them into your document and even pre-populate them. And so a user can do that very, very simply. We have a beautiful integration then with Nextcloud that then allows you to pick, you know, pick a template there, thumbnail it, and then you can actually just suck all of that stuff out of it. So, you know, you can actually start to fill in those template fields in a different UI here. And underneath, it's all using that JSON API, not only to create documents, but then to be able to fine-tune them, edit them, tweak them to your use, which is really cool. Of course, it's no good just having text. We like to have pretty pictures. You know, how is your data going? And there's a whole, you know, structure for doing this. You can create slides. You can put content in them. And we'll see where all that goes. So a very, very rich and powerful API. If you need more things, come and tell me. But the punchline is simple. You have a document. You have some JSON. You can merge them together, or you can suck JSON out. And it's very simple, easy to use, and easy to develop things with, which is kind of cool. Another thing you discover in larger organizations is that that you need to be very polite when you talk to people. So it's no good if you're a vet saying, you know, dead hamster or something, and just posting that to the guy whose hamster has passed on. Instead, it's better if you press F3 and a beautiful, sensitive block of text arrives, you know, expressing, you know, the regret and so on about this tragedy, and that's great. And so, you know, the entropy may decrease massively, but the feel improves. You know, everyone is happy when they get, well, happier when they get this letter. And so AutoText is a really good way of then deploying these large databases of nice-sounding, friendly text that people can type in and complete and then build on. And, so it's just one way that sort of stuff goes around the place. And we've also built a sort of a nice iframe, so there's a whole load of configuration settings and beautiful things you can do in the underlying engine we have. And so far, we've really limited how they can be shown. But we now have an iframe that you can now embed in an integration, like Nextcloud. And, yeah, you can then configure all of these sort of things, so dictionaries and auto text and, you know, all sorts of other settings to make a very, very easy way of embedding that in your integration and configuring them. So, you know, when you get your spelling, your spell checker is confused and can't keep up with the world, you know. You can right-click on it, and you can add stuff to your dictionary, and you know, life is good again. Actually, if you go back in time, interestingly, quite a lot of our performance problems were rendering this beautiful Bezier spline underneath here. It turned out this was the majority of rendering cost back in, you know, five years ago. You could render as many charts or whatever you like, but this very carefully drawn, lots of floating point math. Anyway, it's fast now, but it would be nice to have fewer of them. Which is good. So again, this is a new API then that allows us to save many more pieces back to the file sync and share solution or whoever is implementing that WAPI backend, and then bring them back. It also means that we can start to move settings out of the browser. So there are some sets of settings, like are you using dark mode, or are you you know, do you like to see non-printing characters and this kind of thing that we've traditionally stored in the browser? And that's fine. I mean, like, it works very nicely, but there are a class of people who are sufficiently security paranoid that they don't want anything stored in the browser, not even I like to see non-printing characters as dots and new lines, right? So they get very, very upset, and they inject all sorts of headers, and it would be nice then to have all of our configuration state on the server. So I think over time we'll be moving all of that back into our stateless containers and then essentially serializing them back into the FileSync and Share backend. In order to do that, as you can imagine, with these multi-tenant systems with different sets of dictionaries and whatever, there's all sorts of cleverness going in. So one of the things we do to make this efficient is that we effectively pre-fork Calabra Online. So we initialize the backend, which is reasonably large. Thank you. And Then we essentially, we fork that, and that takes about 6 milliseconds. So, I mean, if you've ever seen a load time or something, we can clone all that state, copy on write, and that's fine. And we now have this a multi-level version, so for each tenant, they may have different dictionaries, different state, different everything. And so now we have a clever system to manage these multiple things, and so it's a double fork system. So it's kind of fun. So we've done a whole lot of things on commenting, which is really nice. So one of the things Zendesk has funded, excellent, is the at mentioning people in comments. So very often you want to comment on a document and also notify someone that they should jolly well fix this piece or whatever. And so they get a friendly mail saying, jolly well, fix this piece. And there's a comment, you can come to it and see what's going on. And that's working now really nicely in Nextcloud, and the API is there for anyone else. We've also improved the look of comments, so sometimes people write the whole document in the comment instead of in the document. I don't know why. But anyway, that's all good for them. And so now you can sort of enlarge this and show comment bigger. I mean, I don't know. I think enlarge comment would be a better... Anyway, we're working to improve the English. Nested replies. So one of the cool things is that the Open Source Institute, who are awesome and, definers of open source, as it were, really have big documents they want lots of discussion and commenting on. So we added a feature for them, which is this comment-only permission for writer documents. We had it for PDF already, because people don't edit PDFs, I guess, much, or they shouldn't. So we added this for docs so that people can come in and then comment, say, on a legal license document or something, and that we can then do comment threading and, conversations and this sort of thing. And you can even delete only your own comments, which is helpful. So thank you to the OSI for that. And another thing they're very interested in was WordPress, so making a plugin so you can just upload a file into WordPress and install that very easily and have your edit button here and then load that up and then collaboratively edit on your website. Extremely easy to deploy, extremely easy then get commenting, feedback, discussion around proposals. And yeah, kind of cool. So that's come in the last weeks. Another thing we'll be doing with DIGIT, the European Commission's digital governance whatever thing, who are awesome, and Open Social, who's a great company, is adding the same thing to Drupal, effectively. So you have this viewing Collabora online, editing Collabora online, and so you can really get stuck into your sharing documents. It's quite interesting that people use, content management systems have funny use cases, Whatever you have, you really want to be collaborating in documents, and so people use all these quite amazing things. You use a bug tracker and you upload an attachment, and really what you want to do is collaboratively editing. Or you use Confluence, and actually it's not used as a wiki at all. It's used as a place to upload files that you can then collaboratively edit on. Or it turns out that there's even better news, which is that XWiki has a beautiful integration here. And obviously, probably wikis are a better way to collaborate on some situations. And but if you have those rich documents now, you can stick those in as attachments and just get this beautiful integration with XWiki. To edit those files and collaborate on them. So collaboration is the key, isn't it? And use whatever tool you can to get it done. Another thing that Zendesk has actually funded is user experience improvements, but particularly finding out what's wrong. So hopefully you'll tell me at the end what's wrong anyway. And I'm very interested in product input, so grab me at the end. We're always trying to improve. But we've built a whole load of UI logging and some charting tools. The thing we're missing is the telemetry. So if someone wants to come and do so we're fully enterprise compatible and large American corporation compatible, really we should be sending all of your private information abroad as it's typed in. We don't have that bit at the moment, So there's no telemetry actually in there at all, but it will stream a set of anonymized commands in order and rough timestamps to some files that the sysadmin can use to crunch with some tooling we have. So, it doesn't say what you've entered. It just says you entered some text at this point and you pasted and all of these other things. And so you can then see, for example, how quickly people actually type versus how quickly they think they type. That's quite fun. And this guy out here, you might think is some kind of monster typing guru, but almost certainly they're just mashing the keyboard in the test session. You can be about 10 times faster if you mash the keyboard than if you actually need it to make sense. So... other interesting things is you can see how commands correlate and which bits are used together and so on. You can build pretty heat charts of that. Perhaps more interesting is what is undone. So if you're pairing undo with commands, where is the highest regret? People type something angry and then they undo it or something, or they wrap their text, or they delete pages in their presentations, I think, you know, and then they try and get them back again. Oh, and they come back, which is good. So interesting to see this data, and good to pull that out. Another thing we've done is add a whole load of deeper style features and integrations there. So there's a lot of power in styling documents. That's really cool, and we haven't had that in Collabor Online, and we've just added that. So there's now a style list button that pops up not just paragraph styles, but all the character list and page and all the other different kinds of style that you can have and manage in complex documents. This is very good if you're subclinically neurotic. So you can find all of those things that shouldn't be in your document and delete them. You know, they're unused, you know, or whatever. But you can also then see what's actually going on in your document. So there's the spotlight button, and you click it like that, you see, and then suddenly it draws all of these beautiful things over the top of your paragraph. So you can see, you know, what style is being used, and then you can correlate that with the numbers and the colors and work out what's going on and make your document as beautiful as it should always have been, which is great. Or perhaps you can work out, you know, you can put a comment in there going, Jim, you broke the document again, please learn how to use styles, you know, or whatever, and then send them a notification so they learn and grow in a good way. Presentations, we've done lots of work on presentations. So there's this present in window feature, which is great. Presenter console pieces, so you can see what's coming, which is always relatively helpful. And we talked about presenting on large screens. Present in window is extremely useful for your video calls. So you're sharing, you know, you're sharing this little window, but not, you can still, you know, read something else while you're in a meeting. So yes. 3D transitions, a whole load of good things here with WebGL, so you can see, you know, them all doing wonderful things. I like the WebGL because we're really providing functionality that no one else provides on, you know, a web platform. A lot of the web office suites you'll see out there are really kind of rather embarrassingly cut down and featureless, and we're trying to buck that trend and provide the full solution for everyone in as much as we can. The browser, you know, doesn't do everything, but it does, you know, it provides a lot of goodness. They even added a sound API, you know, a few years ago, which is great, so you can make sound. Anyway, right, so snap lines for arranging things in presentations, very helpful to get everything just right. If you want to convert your XWiki into a PowerPoint presentation, you know, you can add all these links so that you can do sort of choose your own presentation and click on things and jump to slides, and, you know, it's like one of those novels you could buy as a child where it's a different story each time you roll the dice or something. And anyway, but there's all of these embedded actions that you can apply to shapes and so on. And we even made it faster and better at the starting. So that's good. We tried to make it easier for people to work out what they'd done wrong, which is always good. So if you've misconfigured it horribly, maybe you can find out how, which is good. And with links to the SDK or install instructions to say, yeah, perhaps you need a certificate or something. We do a lot of work to try and isolate documents in containers. So each document is inside its own container, a chroot, filtered system calls, can't do anything, there's no shell in there, there's just fonts and locale information and so on. So extremely secure. Unfortunately, we need the privileges to do that. You need capsys admin to chroot, which seems like an odd requirement. But anyway, so that was annoying. So instead we switched to using Linux namespaces where we can. So actually we can do both. Linux namespace is incredibly powerful. You can effectively become root inside your own namespace with a different view of the file system and lock something down really beautifully. The only problem with that is that you become root inside a... Anyway, so there's security concerns with user space namespaces as well. So as soon as we get a tool that we can use to make things secure, some sysadmin disables it as a security hazard, which is a shame. But anyway, so the AppArmor and SE Linux both try, you know, to turn this off. Well, Ubuntu turns it off. It made things better for OpenShift. But we can install profiles that say, hey, you know, we really do need to be able to actually make things secure, so please give us the privileges we need. Interoperability is absolutely vital, obviously. We've done a whole load of work with PDF 2.0, again, I think, funded by Zendesk, so thank you. And lots of good things coming there, and a better, prettier standard. Lots of interop improvements, I think, better font metrics. We don't have the same font. Maybe you can't see the difference between the two foxes, but there is a difference, except they're laid out nicely. The metrics are exactly the same. And then lots of other interoperability improvements, you know, improved random calc functions and more compliance here and there, and a more systematic approach to testing and avoiding regressions there. And, well, here we are. So our partners, customers, and community make it possible. We can't do anything without them. There are some projects where, you know, there's a money fairy. And, yeah, well, there is no money fairy in our world. So we have to actually work hard and do good things, and that's great. It keeps us close to the users and the customers. So just thank you again to everyone who's partnered with us, works with us, and does good things. And I'm trying to get this meme into people's minds. So if you just keep saying it to yourself like a mantra, it'll help you sleep, and you know, sleep at night. Because you should pay for what you use to keep it free. Okay. So there you go. Keep doing that. Pay for what you... Thank you. I know. So love is a very powerful force, but economics is also a very powerful force. And if no one pays, you know, then for what they use, then it's hard to keep it free. So please do. And there's a final bullet point. Since I was told it was not about politics, the conference, I thought I would just show you a friend of mine, Taras Zunin. And actually, this is his hand, and that's a machine gun bullet he helped to remove from a civilian in Ukraine. And so I just encourage you to support Ukraine and stick with that. And so these are the conclusions. Join in. Try out the latest stuff. It's brilliant. You can download it. There's a code. If you pay for what you use, we can keep it free. There are great code versions of this out there that you can download and use and try, and they're integrated in many of our partners' systems out of the box. And hey, loads of new features. Get involved. Get stuck in. The source code is all open source, obviously. There's loads of cool stuff there. We'd love to work with you. So thank you so very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael. We have about 3 minutes and a half for questions. There is one
awesome.
Question.
If you have quick questions. We have Clement running now to make it all...
Test. First of all, just to say thank you for a frankly astonishing talk. It was very, very impressive.
Oh, well, I'm glad you liked it.
I have a single question about the automatic document stuff, which I think sounds really cool.
Yeah.
Imagine, so I just want to get clear about like what the inputs are. So imagine I've got a company, I've got a bunch of people making documents already. They're like somewhat structured. Maybe it's like a table with like structured field names in the left-hand side and all the junk in the right-hand side.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the sort of thing you can deal with?
Yes.
Or, yeah?
Exactly that, yes. So if we can't, we'd love to know, because we can fix it. But yes, the idea is that you take your existing documents. What we really want is not to reinvent the world. We want to take those existing docx or whatever horror templates and then get them into an open source free world, you know, suck data out of them, put data into them, and tweak them. Often people do a mail merge, but they need to just check the last 1% or whatever. Yeah, and then you know, we can convert it to any format you like. You know, your PDFs, your docx, your XLSX, you know, it's all there. Or hopefully your open standards, your ODTs and ODSs and so on. So, yeah.
Well, this might be the thing that moves my company away from from the office suite. So
love to
I
hear
so.
That's brilliant. Yeah. You won't regret it. So, come and see me at the end and we'll talk. Great question.
Thank you.
Oh, there's a gentleman here. Yeah. Go for it. Yeah.
Just something for me it was lacking because I don't. It was the link was direct is to possibility to have a liberty to comment PDF files. It was a problem.
Yes, commenting on PDF files. So I rack my brains. There is some degree of commenting and stamping and putting things on top of PDFs you can do at the moment. I believe. I think that's there. So yes, that should be possible in Collabra Online. That's my current take. But if it's not working in the latest version, come and see me. We'll talk to the guy who makes it work. It should be fine, I think.
Thank you. Another question, maybe last one.
Oh, your question down.
Looks like the talk was pretty clear.
Thanks so much for being
Thank
here.
Thank you, Michael.
Bless you guys. Enjoy Fosdem.